RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With MasterClass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With MasterClass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch MasterClass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from MasterClass to their lives. MasterClass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. Masterclass.com/audio.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Victory Monday, 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM worldwide on the free Odyssey app. What's up, Richmond? Michael Phillips here. We got some heavy lifting today. Last time we're going to talk to you before the week ends. And Merry Christmas to everybody. Happy holidays. Hope it's a great week for everybody out there, for our podcast crew. You guys will get to enjoy this one all week long, so we'll get to everything. We'll set up the table for college football playoffs, which are coming on the other side. Yeah, we'll get you ready for Commanders-Falcons, because we got to do that. And, of course, a big stretch for VCU. Took care of business yesterday against William & Mary. They're off to Olean for a little New Year's Eve against St. Bonaventure. Sneaky big A-10 game right out of the gate. Two big A-10 games right out of the gate as they'll head to Loyola Chicago right after that. We had Robbie Robinson on last week. He said, hey, you got to play those teams on the road. Might as well be when the students are out of town. And he's right. Why not tee up Olean on New Year's Eve when everybody's out celebrating in Olean, whatever you do. I don't know if the ball drops there. I don't know if a shoe drops there. I don't know what drops there. Something's going to drop in Olean. Hopefully, it's St. Bonaventure's tournament chances. We'll dive into all that. Lots going on around the league as well, of course, as we got a little bit clearer picture of everything going on. And the Chiefs win, then the Ravens beat the Steelers. Couple favorites win in the AFC. Sure feels like there are three teams to beat. Bills hanging on to beat the Patriots, an important one for them as they keep the bye in play. Sure feels like the bye is going to matter a lot here if the 2 and 3 seeds have to play each other. You get, you know, right now that would be Bills-Ravens. That's going to be a big football game. But right now, we are talking about Victory Monday because, oh my goodness, this team only produces the most dramatic of victories. The Washington Commanders 36, the Philadelphia Eagles 33, in a game that truly had it all. Jaden Daniels, he's going to do it, folks. He's going to set the record for most Rookie of the Week victories in a season. Ben Roethlisberger was named Rookie of the Week 9 times in his rookie year. This week will mark number 10 for number 5, Jaden Daniels. Where to start? They didn't have much today. Didn't have much. Didn't have a running game. Defense struggled. Lost Lattimore at the end, and St. Juice was giving up a lot of stuff. But here's the deal. Somebody tells you today, and there's Cowboys fans out there. There's Eagles fans out there. I've been around in this city. There's even some Giants fans out there. I know. I don't think they'll say much today. But, you know, anybody tries to tell you today, oh, Commanders are just lucky. Oh, they're just 10-5 because they got lucky a few times and had Hail Mary and some penalties and some other stuff. When they tell you Commanders are just lucky, you can look them straight in the eye and say, yeah, thank you. We'll take it. Doesn't matter how you feel. What matters is 10-5, best start since 1991. Wonder what happened that year. Only thing that didn't happen that year was on Jason Wright's crest where they gave the Super Bowl to him in 1992. Everybody else knows what's up this year. Here's what I want to say on this very celebratory, very excellent victory Monday. 11 wins. It's not everything, right? Lots of teams win 11 all the time and don't win the Super Bowl. Lots of teams win 11, flame out in the first round of the playoffs. There's only one team in the entire NFL, the whole National Football League, that has not won 11 football games in this century. It's the Washington Commanders. The Jacksonville Jaguars have not won 11 games since 2007. That's a gap. It's a minute. It's been a minute since Jacksonville won 11 games, right? 07, that great year they had then. The Miami Dolphins in 2008 won 11 games. They've been chasing that ever since. Those two teams are the only two teams that haven't won 11 games in more than 20 years, not counting the Commanders. Then you go to the Broncos and the Lions. Lions took care of it last year. Broncos 2015 was the last time. Raiders 2016. 2016, y'all, that was a few minutes ago. That was 8 years ago. The Washington Commanders last won 11 games in 1991. It's been a full Dan Snyder plus change. It's been Dan Snyder plus 6 years since this team's won 11. And 11's not the mountaintop. 11's not where we're headed, right? If in a few years you're like, remember that time Commanders got to 11 wins? That'd be bad. Because we want to be talking about Super Bowls and NFC title games and new stadiums. Gosh, we got to talk about a new stadium too. What a turn of events there at Capitol Hill late at night. We'll get to that. This team's 10-5. One win in their final two clinches a playoff spot and secures them their first 11-win season since 1991. We got people listening to this show that legit were not born in 1991. We got a guy hosting a show here in a little bit that legit was not born in 1991. We got people who that is just... We got people who were alive in 1991 and don't remember a lot of 1991, and me included in that group. I was 6 years old. We got a lot of people out there who don't remember this football team being good and haven't lived through this football team being good. And today, we're going to celebrate that this football team's good, and we're going to celebrate Jaden Daniels because, man, he is good. 10-5. One win away from the playoffs, Atlanta this week, Dallas next week. But man, beating the Eagles, so satisfying at home, 36-33, watching one of their best players get ejected. Did crazy things happen throughout this game? Yeah, of course, including Jalen Hurts leaving early in the game, the ejection of a player, a number of bad calls throughout the game both ways, and none more flagrant than at the start of the second half, a pair of pass interference calls that just gave the Eagles a free drive down the field and a free 3 points, basically. A lot of things happened in this football game. But what happened the most was that when the game was on the line, after throwing an interception, number 5 took care of business. Jaden Daniels stood on his business. He is the real deal, folks. And as you can see, that covers over a lot in the NFL. I asked the Chiefs about that. They've had teams that didn't belong in the AFC title game. Patrick Mahomes lifted them to those games. You see a lot of good quarterbacks around the NFL make up for a lot of bad roster construction. Aaron Rodgers did that a few times in Green Bay. back when he was a good quarterback before he was just a has-been. There's a lot of good stuff out there from number five. Five touchdowns, 258 yards, oh, and 81 rushing yards. When they needed it, he provided it. That two-minute drill was special and spectacular. The way he calmly moved the team down the field, wasn't afraid to use the run, which you never see in the two-minute drill. Guys, oh, we got to throw, we got to spike, we got to go out of bounds, we got to throw. He kept it in bounds. Yo, I got 2 minutes. I'm going to get down the field. Very impressive by Jaden Daniels. Very impressive win for the Commanders. And here it is. Here's your playoff picture. One more win, and they are in. Game this weekend against Atlanta, which took care of business against the Giants. Of course, Michael Penix getting his career underway. He'll be under the microscope this weekend. And then, of course, you've got the finale down in Dallas, down in Arlington, which is going to be a lot of fun. If it's on the line, I hope it's not on the line, but if it's on the line, you know Dallas is coming to spoil that party. They're way far out of the draft pick race. They're 6-8. They got no chance of getting a top draft pick. You know they'd love nothing more than knocking these guys out of the playoffs. Atlanta's the competition. If Atlanta gets through this weekend, if they win on Sunday at FedEx, they are hosting Carolina in the finale. So you can't count on help. You got to be your own help. Got to win this weekend or take care of business down in Dallas, which again will not be easy. The road's not easy. I don't want to dwell on that today. Maybe we'll dwell on that later in the week. If you're listening later in the week, feel free to dwell on that. But right now, I just want to dwell on how good Jaden Daniels is, how great it is to have found a franchise quarterback, a guy who can deliver when the chips are down, and a guy who played at his very best in a game where the team needed it, needed every single ounce of it. And man, what an impressive, impressive showing from number five on a day where nobody else was around. There were nothing to speak of offensively aside from that. Brian Robinson, 24 yards. Chris Rodriguez, 5 yards. Jeremy McNichols, 3 yards. That's your rushing attack. That's it. Aside from the times number five took the ball, ran for 81 yards. It sure felt like it was sustainable too, in a way it wasn't in those first few games. He was great in the first few games too, but you also got the sense, or that undercurrent, right, of I don't know if this is going to be sustainable. He's taking some hits. He was sliding. His slide was a thing of beauty there. During that game, he was running out of bounds. Yesterday was everything you need a franchise quarterback to be against one of the best teams in the league. Helping them melt down too. Always love that little nudge, given Detroit and Minnesota breathing room on the other side. Those NFC North teams look like they're back in pole position for the bye week again. Detroit 13-2, Minnesota 13-2, and what do you know? They play each other the final week of the season. So we're setting up here. Yeah, if things break right, we're setting up a possible game for the bye in the NFC in the final week of the season. Yeah, I'll watch that. It's a good product. I'll watch that. We've got some good football coming down the stretch, and it starts Sunday night right here on The Fan. We'll get you ready. The full pregame show kickoff at 8:15. Commanders and the Falcons playing to make the playoffs. If the Commanders win, they'll clinch a playoff berth in their first season. And in their first season are Dan Quinn and Jaden Daniels, and their first 11-win season since, that's right, 1991. What a time to be alive. What a time to be a Commanders fan. What a time to be locked in on MP on the mic. Some good football coming. A little Christmas Day football coming as well in the AFC. And, we'll see what Netflix does. We'll see how these games go, see how the Beyonce halftime show is. What a waste to have a great, you know, Chiefs, every Chiefs game is going to be decided the last second. What a waste to have that Saturday at 1 o'clock. You know they were doing that to foil the college football playoff. But yeah, it still felt like a waste. You know, I like Noah Eagle. He's good. But it felt a little dead compared to, of course, the Sunday afternoons. We'll see if Christmas football has it or not. We got a lot to get to. I haven't even touched college football. I haven't touched VCU. We'll get to all of it. Victory Monday for your Washington Commanders. AWOD takes over at noon. Grant and Danny drive you home. You're on the home of the Commanders in Richmond, Virginia. This is 910 The Fan.
Crazy about this.
Victory Monday. Happy Victory Monday for the Washington Commanders fans out there. VCU basketball fans, happy Victory Monday to y'all. It's MP on the mic, 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM. Always worldwide on the free Odyssey app. I think what's crazy about this is there were some moments where they legitimately did not make the right decisions, and it didn't matter. There were obviously, you know, I'm not even talking about B-Rob and the fumbles, but coaching-wise, misplayed the clock at the end of the first half, misplayed the clock at the end of the second half by not calling the timeouts there, the timeout in front of the two-minute warning, then giving them the short clock. Even with all that, didn't matter, even a little bit. Jaden Daniels delivers to Jamison Crowder. Fantastic final sequence. Great win. Nobody goes over 100 receiving yards. Olamide Zaccheaus, 5 catches. Terry McLaurin, 5 catches. De'Ami Brown, 4 catches. Luke McCaffrey, 1 catch. Look, I was hard on Luke McCaffrey last week, only because y'all are pumping those tires so hard. Stop making fetch happen. Stop trying to make Luke McCaffrey happen. He's not going to happen. I had some very nice kick returns, though, and we are seeing here towards the end of the season a lot more kicks being returned in the NFL and the real importance of that position in the league, which is certainly an interesting thing to keep an eye on here as we get to the postseason, some of these big games. But as it's cold, you know, you say, oh, is this cold? You got to lean on your run game or just have a quarterback who can do everything. It's Jaden Daniels Appreciation Day, Jaden Daniels Appreciation Week, as he sets the record this week for most Rookie of the Weeks awarded to a single player in the course of a season. He'll be the Rookie of the Year when we're down at New Orleans in February for the Super Bowl. I don't think we're going to be watching these guys at the Super Bowl, but man, game like yesterday makes you dream. I don't think we'll be down there. I don't think they'll win their first round playoff game, but there will be no more unwinnable games from here on out. Not with number five playing like that. Only unwinnable game for these guys is a game where Marcus Mariota lines up under center. Speaker, I don't think Cliff's at his best right now. Clearly, Cliff is trying to shake the Cliff, the funk that he gets into late in season. There was a lot. He threw a lot at the wall there yesterday. I liked it. A lot of guys in motion, a lot of three wide, you know, four wide, Terry on the right, that kind of thing. By the way, I love when Greg Olsen calls these games. I think he's spectacular. I know that's a dated take, right? Everybody knew that last year. But watching Tom Brady call Ravens Steelers, Tom Brady's fine. He's gotten to fine. He makes the points that the announcer should be making. Greg Olsen elevates the broadcast. He makes you think, and he's right on top of it. He doesn't miss down and distance and clock situations, which are, of course, the most important things. He played a little Madden growing up. These things matter, as you know. All right, Jaden Daniels Appreciation Week. I'm just going to read these bullet points from the Washington Commanders team PR because I don't know. That's the best I got right now. Washington has scored 432 points this season. They are now number 5 all-time in franchise history, points scored in a single season. Washington has rushed for 2,291 yards this season, number 5 all-time in franchise history. Jaden Daniels has 4,040 combined passing and rushing yards. That is a new franchise single season record by a rookie quarterback, of course, breaking RG3's record. Washington has scored 5 touchdowns in 4 games this season. That's the most in a single season since 2000. Jaden Daniels, only the 2nd player in franchise history to throw for 5 touchdowns against Philadelphia. He joins Sonny Jurgensen, 1964, in the club. If you're going back to 1964, it's a pretty cool club. First rookie in franchise history to throw 5 touchdown passes in a game. 6th rookie in NFL history to do that. Head coach Dan Quinn, only head coach in franchise history to win 10-plus games in his first year with the organization. 6-2 at home, 7-3 against NFC opponents. Best start since 1991. Jaden Daniels has recorded 296 completions this season, number 9 in franchise history. The list goes on and on and on, because, man, these guys played their butts off in a crazy game where they brought a new twist every single time. And then coming into the locker room, you thought, oh, man, you know, gave him a free 3 points. Wasn't 3 points. They come out. Do you get a free 3 points thanks to the refs? They hang tight. They hang in the game. We got a lot to break down. Lattimore was fine. Not spectacular. But, man, then St. Juice came in, and you were like, oh, Lattimore's good. Yeah, bring back Lattimore. That health is going to matter. You could see the drop-off. And I said this last week. Wouldn't surprise me at all if St. Juice gets cut. Not now, obviously, because you have Lattimore health questions. But it wouldn't surprise me at all if he doesn't survive the offseason on this roster. As Adam Peters continues to remake it. And as we get ready for these big January games, I think that's the most important thing to say. This is a guy who's going to be playing with draft picks, a lot of cap space, tons of cap space this offseason, and he's got a quarterback who everybody wants to come play for. That's a pretty good recipe to work with. This team's only going to get better. Love to see the ceiling here. And by the way, I don't think the defense played all that bad yesterday. I know the score says 33. There were obviously some extenuating circumstances there, but they did what we asked them to do, gave the offense short fields. Offense couldn't convert early as they kept going to Brian Robinson. Then Jaden Daniels took over the game. Let's get some post-game thoughts from Coach Dan Quinn.
In the first quarter, we dug ourselves a huge hole. And one thing about our team that I really admire, we're never out of the fight. And it would take a lot to come back. And I don't think, over the years, I've won too many when you're this far down on the, turnover differential. You guys have heard me talk about the ball for months here. So to see us come back through those moments, I thought defensively did a good job of stepping up into those spaces to go and get some field goals, as opposed to touchdowns into that spot. I thought that was probably the turning point for us because it couldn't have gone worse in the first quarter for us. And then in the second half, I thought defensively the guys really buckled down on who's a fantastic running back. Honestly, their run game is legit. And so for them, for Saquon to have, 27 in the second half, tip my hat to the defense on that. So with all that said, let's get rocking with you guys.
Dan, we've talked about Jaden's maturity all year. He throws the interception. You guys are down five, and then he leads that drive. How is he just able over and over again to thrive in these last moments and here to put that mistake away and move past it?
That's the whole key to it, Ben. I think of he's able to clear and knowing that, okay, interception took place, to come down to it and going. I thought it was a big deal to get a stop, to knowing that we had space and time to go down the field. And if you give him moments, he really lights up in those spots. Today he became a heavy hitter. He really did. In a difficult game of a turnover margin that goes against you, you're down. This is a really good defense. The run game was hard for us today to get going. And so, turnovers and, missteps that'll happen along the way, to know that, at the end, you're ready to go make a play, to go, give your chance to win it. That's a big deal. So I thought there's a lot to be gained from today. It was ugly in some ways, but it was also excellent in some ways of resilience and these guys not backing down. We've had some games I thought we rode a roller coaster, and we didn't do that today. We didn't feel like we were ever out of the fight. And there was other games when I felt highs and lows. And so to stay consistent, I remember the first quarter must have felt like it damn near took an hour. And I said, man, we're just starting the second quarter, fellas. And it just felt like, it went terrible at the start. But I thought, hey, hang in there and let's go from here.
Jaden became a heavy hitter today. That's Washington coach Dan Quinn after the game. Yeah, I think he already was a heavy hitter, but man, he puts his best performances on when everybody's watching. The secret's out. Greg Olson was talking on the broadcast. I think Jaden Daniels is underappreciated. I don't think Jaden Daniels is going to be underappreciated for long. I think some good players are going to want to come play with him. this offseason. Lots to get to. College football, VCU basketball. We will do those things on the other side. You are listening to the Monday edition of MP on the Mic. This is 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM. Worldwide on the free Odyssey app. Victory Monday for the Commanders. 5 touchdowns for number 5. It's Jaden Daniels Appreciation Week, folk. So we will not let you forget that. As the show rolls on, AWOD Radio takes over at noon from the home of the OG Burger Night, Capital Ale House out in Innsbruck. Go have a burger with Adam. It's not burger lunch, it's burger night. But you can go have a burger with Adam, have a beer, celebrate a great Commanders win over the Eagles. Man, there's a ton of Commanders pride right now. And a Sunday night football game to get to the playoffs, to get to 11 wins for the first time since 1991. I told you I'd talk about college football, and I want to. I think broadly speaking, and the ratings numbers will tell whatever story they tell. It was dud games for sure. I think the college football playoff broke through, though. You talk about busy sports weekend and a lot of NFL. I think there was widespread awareness of the college football playoff, and I think people were, even if they weren't watching, were watching the scores and the highlights and were invested in it. But that is actually not where I want to start. I want to start with the incredible chaotic atmosphere of college football, the NIL, the portal, the lawsuits, all the things. That's where I want to start today, because something happened late last week that's actually really impactful. I just feel like we should stop for a second and acknowledge that it happened and say, holy cow, this has some big-time implications. Diego Pavia, you remember him from that time he ran all over Virginia Tech in the opener, and you realized this was not going to be the season for the Hokies. He is at Vanderbilt. He was a senior at Vanderbilt because he played a season at a junior college, played a season of JUCO football. He sued the NCAA. Look, I'm not a legal expert, so don't go quote an MP on this. Find your own legal expert to interpret this. But essentially, the lawsuit is this. My years in junior college shouldn't count towards my NCAA eligibility because the NCAA allows NIL, and if you count those junior college years, that hurts my ability to earn NIL money. Which is kind of insane. I think a little bit. I think the most insane thing that's happened in this NIL journey so far, by far, has been the time where they're like, "Yeah, if you played in the last 10 years, we'll give you back pay for NIL." That's wild to me. Like, I'm sorry you were born too early. I don't understand why that means we need to rewind the clock, but it's happening. We're rolling towards it this summer. They settled the lawsuit because you played in the last 10 years, you might get a little NIL money. You might get a little something in the mail from your school as part of this settlement. That's wild to me. If McDonald's pays $20 an hour starting tomorrow, and I made $10 an hour a couple years ago, I don't get to sue McDonald's and be like, yo, you're paying people more money now. I'd like my money from when I worked back then. That's not how any of this works. But apparently that's how all of this works. Diego Pavia suing, saying my junior college time shouldn't count. And the judge has given him an injunction to allow him to play next season. Now, they have not given a full ruling on this issue. I'm sure this will go to the high courts and the appeals courts and the Supreme Courts and the Judge Judy Court and the Court of the People Court and the People's Court and all those places. I'm sure there's a lot more ahead of this. But that, if true, that would mean you can go to a junior college, play for 2 years, then go to the NCAA, redshirt, and play for 4. You could have a 7-year college career, and in fact, I would argue some guys should have a 7-year college career. You think about your players, your Max Scholgas of the world, your people who maybe aren't ever going to make NBA bank. Armando Bacot certainly comes to mind. Never going to make NBA bank, but you think about how valuable they would be as a college player with an additional 2 years of eligibility, 2 years older, and that could happen under this lawsuit. So that's the first thing I want to call attention to while we're talking about college football here in this segment, is 7-year college careers could be a thing. That was how the judge ruled this weekend. College football playoffs happened this weekend too. Yeah, all 4 games were duds. There is no perfect system. So first off, let's talk about this, because I called this the whole way in, that people were going to be mad, that there were two very undeserving teams let in, SMU and Indiana. They were. They just were undeserving teams. But the committee's approach was to spread the love by conference, and the teams they should have let in instead, Alabama and Ole Miss, both lost games they weren't supposed to lose. Both had really embarrassing losses on the resume, and so it's hard to go to bat for them and say you should let them in the playoffs, because we all agree we want the regular season to mean something. And it was, if Alabama had been excluded because they lost three times and they lost to Georgia and to Texas and to Oregon, then I would be mad, because you'd say, okay, they scheduled hard, they didn't win. Instead, they were excluded from the playoffs because they lost to a really bad Oklahoma team that probably wouldn't have been able to hold its own in the Big Ten this year. So there's no sympathy. There's no tears here. But you let in two undeserving teams. The bottom line is there aren't 12 teams that can win the Natty this year. There just aren't. And the NCAA basketball tournament has this too, right? There are not 68 teams capable of winning the championship in any given year, but we choose to let teams in because sports are fun and we enjoy watching the games. I don't think the system needs a major overhaul. I've suggested my system before, which is a variable size bracket. The committee can get together and pick a minimum of three and a maximum of seven or eight teams, and put them into a bracket. The committee decides how big the field is in a given year. This year, I think you would have, you know, maybe a five or six team bracket, maybe a seven team bracket. But I think you would have, you know, you'd only let in teams that have proven they could contend for the title. But that would leave out some conference champs, and that makes some people mad. You'd leave out Arizona State in that system. They can't win the national title. They could beat Texas. They could make it to the semis, but they can't win the national title. Everybody sees that. Boise, by the way, actually could win the national title. They'll play Penn State, who had a very nice home win with James Franklin. The big one, though, was Tennessee. All those Tennessee fans going up to Ohio State. Again, the best possible outcome remains in the college football playoff in Ohio State winning the title and the fans still wanting their coach fired, which they absolutely would, because he can't beat Michigan. That remains the best possible outcome. But we got the semis now. You got Texas, Arizona State. That's a wild one. Either team could win that one. Ohio State, Oregon is your marquee game. It's the Rose Bowl. It's a Big Ten against Big Ten matchup. That's actually Big Ten against Pac-10. It's everything the Rose Bowl wants in a matchup. It works out perfectly for the Rose Bowl. They win again. You get your beautiful sunset out there in Pasadena. You get the parade, all those things. It's good to be the Rose Bowl. Game that night's going to be really good as well. Notre Dame, Georgia. I think Notre Dame's a fantastic football team right now. They proved it against Indiana. Georgia could beat anybody in America on any given day. Those two games are legit national semi-caliber. And then you've got Texas, Arizona State, Penn State, Boise State. Games that are not national championship caliber, but are played because of the way the bracket laid out. And so my big picture observation here, if you're mad about what happened, we got football. We got football to watch, and people played it and had fun. On campus is the way to do this. That's the other major takeaway that we need to acknowledge from this weekend. These quarterfinal games need to move to on campus, or if you want to keep those New Year's Day, the bowls, fine. The semis then need to move to college campuses, because you can't be asking fans to go travel in the middle of January to these neutral sites. It's too much to ask of the fans. But I'm fired up. Ohio State, Oregon. If I can stay awake, Notre Dame, Georgia. And then we're back on the air the next morning. We'll do the show again on the 2nd. Again, no show the rest of this week. We got the podcast to keep you company. If I end up at the game on Sunday, I'll upload a bonus pod for everybody off of that, take you inside the locker room as we do. No promises there. But before that, we've also got some big VCU basketball. We'll talk about the Rams. Nice win for them. We'll get to that on the other side. You're listening to 910 The Fan. Now the Fan, 105.1 FM worldwide on the free Odyssey app. It has taken nearly the entirety of the first hour to get to VCU basketball, which was winners yesterday against William & Mary, so we should not leave them hanging for too long. Briante Weber, jersey goes in the rafters. Great day for him. Great crowd there yesterday as well. Other item of note, Christian Furman did not play. He was sick, was the word from Ryan Odom. Christian Furman, hey, we were all young once. Stubb was young once, too. 21 years old as of 2 days ago. And then yesterday, feeling sick, didn't play in the basketball game. Good on Christian Furman. You're only 21 once. You're only young once. VCU handled William & Mary easily. Christian Furman will be back in action, hopefully, on New Year's Eve in Olean. It was the Michael Bell Show inside. He's versatile. He does a lot of things. It was a nice tune-up. It was a nice feel-good after that loss in New Mexico that I'm still trying to recover from watching that broadcast of. It was a lot of good things. It was a palate cleanser in a lot of ways. Ryan Odom checked in with our crew, Robbie and Rodney, who broadcast the games right here on The Fan, after it was over.
It was important, you know, for us to play well tonight and or today, and these games are tough. You know, the way that they play, it's hard to prep for this in practice, you know, in a couple of days to get ready for a team with that style of play. One of the things that we talked about before the game was just passing and catching, you know, and that was going to be very key for us on offense. And we did it really well at times, and then we had some other times where, you know, their pressure, you know, kind of gets to you a little bit. And, you know, we lost the ball a couple of times, made a couple of plays that we didn't need to make. And that gets the game going for them. But obviously in the second half, we were much better against it, found some easy shots. And the key for us, you know, going into this game was the defense, though. We wanted to make sure that we really guarded them effectively throughout the game.
Coach Jack Clark comes in and, you know, I think admittedly he would say he's been struggling from the perimeter, but found a way to contribute with a double-double today, 11 points and 10 rebounds.
Yeah, no question. I mean, he's flying around, you know, getting rebounds for us, and that's a big plus, you know. In general, the offensive rebounds were great. And we needed every one of them.
Michael Bell came in and played a few more minutes than he typically played, with 25 minutes, 10 points, and one rebound, and felt like he, you know, also had to guard some bigger guys today.
Yeah, Michael's, you know, really versatile, right? And, you know, he's an excellent defender. He flies around the court and certainly was very good for us tonight. And obviously we shortened it a little bit, you know, not having Firm, and then, you know, we didn't go deeper into the bench, you know, tonight. But I thought Michael, you know, did really well, and Jack did really well. We knew we were going to have to downsize a little bit, regardless of whether Firm was playing.
All about that inside game. Going up to Olean next, and GM Woj's team. He's assembled a nice little team up there. New Year's Eve in Olean, as voted by TripAdvisor, number one most romantic destination for New Year's Eve. They'll be up there. 2 p.m. tip-off. That's next Tuesday, so that's 8 days from now. They got a lot of time to reload, to get ready before they take on the Bonnies. And the interior is so important for these guys. I had harbored ambitions before the season, and I think Coach Odom did too, that the guards were so good, that the movement would be so fast and so crisp, that they could overcome their deficiencies inside. You've really seen that that's not the case. They need a minimum level of production out of that interior game. And we've seen games where they get it, and we've seen games like in New Mexico where they don't get it. And we've seen that these guys can hang on any given night. The losses have all been narrow losses. You certainly think about the two in Charleston. Could have won those. That's a woulda, coulda, shoulda. That really puts a different spin on the season as a whole. Really, you know, makes it disappointing when you look back and say, oh man, this could be a top 25 team. But that deficiency, it shows itself. And the, you know, the other thing in Charleston was just the guards were not yet mature enough to finish games. It feels like they are now. It feels like they've turned that corner. And certainly their ability to come back at New Mexico, their ability to hold off Colorado State when at the finish there. It's all going to get tested. Bonnie's New Year's Eve, 2 o'clock, and then Loyola Chicago that Saturday. Now, we'll be on the air a couple times before then, so we'll get you ready for that game out there against the Fighting Sister Jeans. It's going to be two early tests, but also two early opportunities to get on the national radar. And marketing matters. VCU's brand name has helped them before, and they're going to lean on that this year. But they need to win some of these games. That Loyola game is on CBS Sports Network. That is a nationally televised game. That's a moment. You need to rise to the occasion. Need to get it. Now, I got some words for whoever at the A-10 scheduled the St. Bonaventure game at 2 p.m. on New Year's Eve and didn't put it on any TV. That's insane to me. But I'm not in charge of the A-10, so there we go. Good to hear from Ryan Odom. And for the players, too, who worked through finals week. And we told you the story about Luke Bamboye, who had a great night against Penn and then took off the jersey, drove straight to class, and gave a presentation. It's still that time of year, and we're not that kind of school that ignores those things. You still got to go to class to be a part of the VCU program. So salute to those guys. Great showing against William and Mary. Great to see Mirante Weber back in the building. Very nice crowd. I think there may be something to that. Historically, kind of tough to draw on those afternoon games. Maybe there's something to it. Maybe it's a nice time to get some people out who don't traditionally come to the games. Saw some families out there. Certainly looked like a great crowd out there for that game against the Tribe. Next time they're at home will be January 8th, Wednesday night, taking on Fordham at the Siegel Center. And they're going to need some folks out there for that one. Other news from around the area, the Big River rivalry. You know I was only going to mention this if my boys won. Southside is indeed the best side. It was confirmed at the Big River rivalry. South of the River won the annual high school football all-star game 20-19. A little overtime action at the Big River rivalry. Gary Hess coach Chris had the call on that. I was actually listening to that. Drove my dad to the airport. He came into town for a visit for a couple days, which was a ton of fun. Drove him to the airport, listened to the Big River rivalry. Right there on 1140 WRVA, the flamethrower, as Gary Hess calls it. And my boys won, so Southside wins. Shout out to Southside. Michael Vick, formally hired as the Norfolk State football coach while we were gone. Here's the other college football note that I didn't bring up during college football time. Indiana posted a video of their team boarding a plane to go to South Bend for the game against Notre Dame. So as a reminder, for those of you who don't know a lot about Notre Dame is in Indiana. The University of Indiana also, and this is interesting, is in Indiana. They're both in Indiana. It's a three-hour drive from Bloomington to South Bend. Looked this up, right? Because I think this is important that we get the facts right here. It is a 3 hour and 16 minute drive from campus to campus. They boarded a plane and flew instead. I respect the commitment to the bit, to the consistency. Got on the plane, flew across the giant state of Indiana. We got to get back to Commanders Victory Monday. Jaden Daniels, number 5. We're going to talk about him. We're going to talk to him vicariously. We'll hear his post-game thoughts. On the other side, hour number 2 of MP on the Mic on tap. You're listening to 910 The Fan. 105.1 FM. We are worldwide on the free Odyssey app. I often do my countdown of people I'm happy for that the Washington Commanders are good. A lot of you are on that list. If you've been a long-suffering Commanders fan, are you a Washington Commanders fan dating back to 1997, you may be entitled to financial compensation. You're at least entitled to this season. It's a good season. Be happy. Enjoy it. It's been a ton of fun. They're 10-5. They're playing to make the playoffs. Just need one of the last two. You get a game against Michael Penix and the Falcons in primetime. Are you kidding me? That's awesome. Jaden Daniels is awesome. But very high on the list of people I am happy for, usually near the top, is Terry McLaurin, who is a good dude, has not, you know, been as whiny as he could be through a lot of, you know, bull crap that's been thrown his way during his time in Washington, to put that gently. And so it is fun to hear him having fun. Here's Terry McLaurin.
Winning time moments. Honestly, winning time moments, and that's why I love DQ. He just knows the right things to say, and I love playing for a coach like that where we never flinch, and no matter what the score looks like, we had, 4 or 5 turnovers, and that's not our standard at all. We'll get that cleaned up, but to win this game when there was a lot of ebbs and flows speaks to the resilience and the culture that we're building here. And so, like I've said in the past, if you want to look at a culture being built or what it stands for, it's easy when things are going good, but when there's a little adversity, that's when you get to see the true character of a group of people. So that was a gritty win by us. And you get hats off to them. That was a playoff atmosphere, honestly. I was having the time of my life out there competing and being a part of this group who everybody loves doing that. I thank God that I'm living my dream because this is everything I've ever could imagine.
It's so cool. I'm so happy for Terry. It's Terry McLaurin. He's on the Washington Commanders. He's really good at football. Feed him. They didn't in the first Eagles game. And by the way, they didn't win that game. Cliff Kingsbury was determined. This has kind of been the Cliff Kingsbury I'm listening tour for the last few weeks. You did the thing where you lined Terry up on the right side and threw to him on the first play of the game a couple weeks ago. He's listening, and he responded. And you saw a lot of new concepts in this game. That was fascinating to me. Certainly love to see that Cliff Kingsbury can adapt and evolve. Now, a lot of it is like, you know, a lot of that is kind of a, hey, I'm here, I can do this. But the fact that whatever it takes, he's doing it. And I love that he's doing it. I love that Terry McLaurin has been an active member of the team in recent weeks. He's just having a time of his life. He's having a ton of fun. Winning time moments has been a slogan for these guys. Having the time of his life, man. He's having fun. You love to see it. I love it for Terry. I love it for the fan base. 10-5. It's a victory Monday. Awad will be at Capital Ale House. We'll talk to him in about 40 minutes. We'll get you to Awad Radio at noon as the party continues. Junks are happy. I'm happy. Everybody's happy. This is truly the stuff. And the RG3 season was fun, but I remind you, they needed a late surge to make the playoffs that season. That wasn't 17 weeks of fun. That was 9 weeks of fun. And the first couple were like, oh, they're winning. Oh, okay, they're winning. And Robert was fun. But the we might make the playoffs thing, that didn't happen till mid-November with that team. That was not a team that was like, this team is going to make the playoffs. We've been talking about playoffs since that Bengals game. And I couldn't be happier about it. And I love everything about it. I love it for Terry McLaurin, too. But this is all about Jaden Daniels. Let's hear from number 5, because he's really good at football. And when you put the ball in his hands with the game on the line, good things happen. When you put the ball in his hands with the game not on the line, sometimes he throws interceptions. And then you know what? He gets the ball back, game on the line, and really good things happen. I still think, too, that if they hadn't jumped offside in that Steelers game, he was going to lead a game-winning drive. Because, man, in winning time moments, as Dan Quinn would say, he's money. He doesn't miss. Here's Jaden Daniels.
I think you just let the emotions flow. Obviously, everybody was very excited that we did that, and we had the opportunity to go out there and win the game, despite how we played.
And to win a game with 5 turnovers, clearly not your guys' cleanest game. How did you guys stay in it mentally with all those mistakes and ultimately, you know, get the win?
Yeah, I mean, this whole week DQ preached, like, it's going to be a 5-quarter game. No matter what, obviously it's a very good team over there and what they've done over the years, how they're established in this league. You know, you're never out of it, but you got to go out there, you got to put up a fight, and the game's never done until the clock is 0.
Jaden, you got OZ, who hadn't had a touchdown, had about 2 callback this year, gets 2 against his former team, but then Jamison Crowder, who's been up and down all season long.
Yeah.
And he's there at the end for you. I mean, what does that mean for a young quarterback to have a veteran like Jamison there who's, you know, been doing it in practice and now gets a chance to do it in the game?
I mean, it means a lot just to have people step up and make plays. Obviously, Terry gets a lot of attention, rightfully so, but those guys in these type of moments, they got to step up and make plays, and that's what they did.
And why are you so comfortable in those late-game, 2-minute situations?
I mean, I don't know. I love those type of situations. Those are when it's on thin ice and plays need to be made. That's what you live for. If you really love this sport, you live for those big time moments where it comes down to the end. You know, everything's that gets you back against the wall. How will you respond?
And on the Zaccheaus touch on the long one, did you see that they had 12 on the field? What did you see on that?
I did see they had 12 on the field. I think it was Slade. I was running off late. So I knew we essentially had a free play at that, and We had a holding call, which they held on Zach, and I was able to find OZ. He did the rest.
It seemed like Cliff made a pretty big adjustment in the second half with what you guys were doing on offense, a lot of four wide and throwing the ball a lot more. How comfortable are you in that kind of situation, knowing that you're going to sling the ball 20-plus times in a half?
I mean, I'm very comfortable. That's comfortable with the position of being a quarterback, be able to throw the ball and stuff like that. So I'm very comfortable. I know Cliff is comfortable calling those type of plays.
Having so many different receivers to be able to throw to and kind of all the options in so many different situations.
Yeah, I mean, it's really good to have those type of guys step up and make plays. And, you know, the whole thing was just, hey, put the ball in play and, you know, they'll do the rest.
What did you see pre and post snap on that last touchdown?
I mean, we hit that in practice. Like, that same exact concept, same exact throw. So it was kind of just like, okay, I've seen two high safety, middle field open, and I already hit this in practice. So it was time to just make the throwing in the game.
Nothing much to it. Just make the throws. That's Jaden Daniels. He's number 5 for the Washington Commanders. They're about to sell a lot of number 5 jerseys because he's going to be good for a while, and he's 1 win away from leading this team to a playoff berth in what's going to be a chaotic playoff year in the NFC. And by the way, if you were to say what's the most possible outcome here, what's the most possible game, it's probably a rematch in Philly. I think that's the most likely playoff outcome. And both of those games have just been off the walls insane. It's been two wild games in terms of it just the crazy things happen. Yeah, guys, you know, quarterbacks coming in and out. In Jaden was hurt in the first one. Hurts was hurt in this one. You had a player ejected. You had a lot of yapping both ways in both games. You had some clock mismanagement. You had some bad officiating, some bizarre plays. It's been fun to watch both of them. Would I watch a third one? Heck yes, I would. You better believe I'd watch a third one, especially with something on the line. By the way, it's far too early to look into this stuff. That feels like it would be ticketed for the Monday night playoff game, right? Doesn't it? It sure feels like that's the one that you would ticket for the Monday night playoff game. I don't know. We'll see. They put one on Monday night. I'm just calling it early. It's got the feel of a potential Monday night playoff game. We'll see what happens between now and then. But I want to go back to Terry, because Terry loves Jaden a lot. I would too if I had dealt with a lot of bad quarterbacks. Here's Terry McLaurin on number 5.
Man, he's so poised. No matter if we're making plays or we're missing plays, he just has a way to stay even keel that I've never seen that from a rookie at any position, let alone quarterback. And he has utmost confidence in the guys around him. And he has a way of just making the right plays when it's time, you know what I mean? And you can't teach that. And I feel like his ability to continue to get better each and every week, learn from his mistakes, is why I feel like he has a chance to be one of the great ones. And, you know, he has a long way to go, but those are the moments that start to give you bigger steps in your career to continue to grow at a faster rate when it doesn't get too much harder going against a team like that, back against the wall. We had so many turnovers, but when you got to have it, when the game's on the line, he made the plays, and we just tried to make the plays with him. So I told him in the locker room, I love playing with a guy like that. You know, I'm just extremely thankful for him to be on our team.
I'm glad that guy's on my team. Terry McLaurin, Washington Commanders, good at football. Love listening to him and watching him play. Love it when Jaden Daniels throws him the ball. Love that he loves playing with Jaden Daniels, and he's pounding the table, man. He's playing. When it's on the line, that guy comes through. I'm glad he's on my team. Glad he's on the Fan every week. And we'll have the Falcons game for you right here. 8:15 kickoff on Sunday. Falcons Commanders. Doesn't get much bigger than this. Chance for 11 wins for the first time since 1991. And ditto on everything Terry McLaurin said. And you look at the playoff picture. Detroit and Minnesota, both at 13, and they play each other, so somebody's going to get that one. The Eagles now have a tough road to the bye. I don't think it'll happen for them, even though they've got just Dallas and the Giants coming up the next couple weeks. That means they're the 2 seed. They can't fall below 2. The Commanders, 10-5, You've got the Packers tonight on Monday Night Football. If they lose, you could reopen the discussion, maybe. Could they climb to the six? I don't know. You got to entertain the idea if they lose tonight to the Saints. That feels like a reach. It feels like I'm grasping at straws here. If they could climb into the six, man, whoo boy, good things could be happening and happening in a hurry for these guys, because that'd mean you play either Tampa or the Rams or Seahawks. Both of those matchups are exquisite. I would welcome either of those, especially the way Jaden's playing right now. It's breaking well. It's a great win. It's a great victory Monday. Love having you along for the ride here. AFC playoff picture. The Chiefs just need one more to get the bye. Sure feels like they need that bye the way Patrick Mahomes is out there limping around. And then you got Buffalo locked into the two. You're waiting to see. The Pittsburgh-Baltimore situation is fascinating. Pittsburgh one up. They've got the tiebreaker, same record. But Baltimore closes with Houston and Cleveland, both winnable games. Chiefs and Bengals for the Steelers, that'll be harder. You're looking to see if the Ravens take that over. You'd have a Ravens-Bills second-round playoff game that I think a lot of people would want to watch. We got to take a break. We're back on this Victory Monday after this. You're listening to 910 The Fan, A1 Radio. He's live and local at Capital Ale House. That's the home of Richmond's OG Burger Night. If you haven't been over there on a Monday night, what are you missing? Get over there. Celebrate a Commander's victory or head on over for lunch right now. Have a drink with our guy, Awad. Toast to a Commander's victory. You're not doing anything else. We're headed towards the holiday break. Programming reminder. After today's show, we will not talk to you until January 2nd. That is New Year's. What's the opposite of Eve? I don't know. Post-New Year's. We will have just put the college football playoffs in the books. That is a fascinating, that's going to be a fascinating thing. And hopefully we'll be able to tell you the Commanders are playoff bound. If not, it'd be a butt clencher of a game against Dallas on the road. It's not a sure thing from here. Falcons are good. I think they'd rather beat the Falcons than the Cowboys. Yeah, I'd love to beat the Cowboys. That sounds fun. And laughing at the Cowboys has been great fun all this time. But if you need to win in Dallas, I think Dallas is coming to play in that one because they don't have a lot of draft position to play for either. If you missed us doing VCU victory stuff, grab the Odyssey app. It's free. It's got the rewind button. I'll play a little bit of Robbie and Rodney's interview with Coach Ryan Odom as they get ready. Last tune-up, get ready for A-10 play right around the corner, New Year's Eve in Olean, 2 o'clock against St. Bonaventure. Should be a fantastic game out there. Commanders, turnovers are the story, but I want to mention, because I haven't mentioned it yet, turnovers are going to be the story when you turn the ball over 5 times. You got no business winning. They produced 2 takeaways, too, and those were not without their own meaning. And Sanders still... man, he just gets better every single week. Love that. Bobby Wagner playing his freaking butt off. Love watching Bobby Wagner. There is still gas in that tank. And you saw Zach Ertz kind of struggling, and the difference it made not having him at that tight end position. Bobby Wagner, the other old guy on the team, he is still rolling. He is still going at just a ridiculous clip. He is so fun to watch. Frankie Louvu deserves to be at the Pro Bowl. It would be a travesty if he's not. Bobby Wagner could just get it on reputation. The fact that he's still doing it at this level, at this stage of his career, he looks like he could play another season. It's absolutely remarkable what he's doing, and I love to watch it. College football playoff, which I mentioned. And we need to do a little stadium talk. I want to make sure to sneak this in so we get to stadium talk, because y'all know what you think about the college football playoff. But stadium talk. This was a wild ride, and I can tell you this, inside the building, this was a really wild ride. Inside the building, they had given up hope, and then it came back around at whatever's later than the 11th hour. That's what this was. So the deal is, Schoolhouse Rock, House Senate President, the House passed a bill that said, give the RFK land to DC, let them do whatever they want with it. It did not say build a Commander stadium on it. It just said give the land to D.C., let them do what they want with it. Because if they don't build a stadium, D.C.'s going to want to do something with it, turn it into a nice park or housing or something like that. That was put into the Senate budget bill. Now, I just break this down. The Senate, its third job to do things. Over the last few years, they've kind of stopped doing things. The Senate, for many, many years, passed an average of 600 bills per session. That was all the way up until about 4 years ago. This year, the Senate passed 158 bills. So the Senate has quit doing things. So all you people like, oh, you know, just take it to a vote in the Senate. It doesn't work like that anymore. I wish it worked like that. It does not work like that anymore. The Senate has stopped doing things. There are a lot of reasons for that. Those reasons get addressed every day on 1140 News Radio WRVA and not here, and they won't get addressed here. That's the background you need for this story. Is it the Senate stopped doing things? So they put it in the budget bill, because you have to pass the budget bill, otherwise there's no government. Of course, we've lived that as well. So they put it in the budget bill, they go to vote the budget bill, and apparently Trump and Elon Musk don't like the budget bill, so they have them voted down. They go to negotiate. When it comes back, it's missing the RFK Stadium language, which apparently Elon Musk didn't like because he had read on Twitter that they were giving $3 billion to the Commanders to build a stadium, which is not true. But if you're a lawmaker, I'm going to simplify, you're like, why didn't the lawmakers just tell him? If you're a lawmaker and it's December 21st and you just really want to go home to your family and you're not from D.C., and they're like, hey, you got to take this out. Yeah, fine, whatever. I just want to go home. I just want to get out of here. They took it out. So the bill passed, the government bill passed without it in it. The Senate reconvenes that night and tosses it back in at 1:14 in the morning as a standalone bill. So the only thing it's missing is President Joe Biden's signature. If he puts his signature on the bill, the land for RFK Stadium will be given to the city of D.C. from the federal government. It is impossible to overstate how big of a step this is in the process. It's huge. It's massive. Nothing happens without this. I also saw people tweeting at me on Fridays, why didn't the government just build them a stadium? Yeah, again, the government doesn't do things anymore. That was not going to happen. D.C. could do things. So now Josh Harris and his crew sits down with D.C., negotiates, will there be subsidies from D.C.? Probably. Will there be as much as Josh Harris likes? Almost certainly not. D.C. stretched pretty thin, still paying off Nats Park, just built Ted Leonsis a nice new thing. I think at the end of the day, Josh Harris is going to take whatever he can get, and he's going to build at RFK. I think that's his plan. I think that from here, the stadium's going to RFK. How long will it take? It might take a while. 2030 remains a pretty fair guess on when this thing might open. There's going to be some obstacles. They got to tear down RFK. There's a lot of steps between here and there. But that was the hardest step of the process. And there are going to be people like, the next step's the hardest step because negotiating with DC. It's not. This was the hardest step because this was unpredictable. There are 100 legislators. There are none from DC of the senators. So none of them directly cared about this. So to get them to do this was fantastic. And a big win for the Commanders on a weekend. A big win for the Commanders. Jaden Daniels, man, all he does is deal and come through in crunch time. 5 touchdowns as they beat the Eagles, set up a nice game against the Falcons this week. Win and in. College football playoff. Look, we had college football. It was fun. We got to go to 2 TVs. I'm not going to gripe that the games weren't any good. Sure, if you had let Alabama in, it would have been a little bit closer. But Alabama needed to handle its business. If you let 3-loss Alabama in with the loss at Oklahoma, I think I would have been mad about that, too. There just were not a lot of deserving teams this year. And sometimes that's how it goes in college football. Sometimes that goes around here as we crosstalk with AWOD. We will do that on the other side. You are listening to 910 The Fan at 105.1 FM.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With MasterClass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With MasterClass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch MasterClass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from MasterClass to their lives. MasterClass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. masterclass.com/audio.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.